Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on strategic trade secret management and protection comes from Donald O'Connell.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something really interesting in the business world. You know, beyond the usual patents and trademarks people talk about, we're digging into the hidden value generators, the real secret sauce for competitive advantage. Trade secrets.
Exactly. And we're lucky enough to be drawing on some fantastic insights today, specifically from Donald O'Connell. He's a real IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. Yeah, this comes from his workshop on trade secret asset management, which is part of that top-tier CIPI EPO master program in IP law and management.
So we're getting some high-level thinking here.
Definitely. And our mission really is to kind of shortcut that learning curve for you, to give you a practical handle on the strategic power of these secrets and, you know, how to actually manage them.
Okay, great. Let's start at the beginning then. Trade secret, it sounds, well, secret. What exactly are we talking about here?
Right. So at its core, it's confidential business information. Mm-hmm. Simple as that, almost. But the key is that it gives a business a competitive edge because it's kept under wraps.
Confidential info with an edge. Got it.
But legally, there are like three main things you need. First, the info can't be common knowledge or easy for others to figure out.
Okay.
Second, it has to have real commercial value because it's secret. And third, and this is super important, the owner has to take reasonable steps to keep it secret.
That last one, reasonable steps. That sounds crucial.
It absolutely is. It's not passive. You have to actively protect it.
So this is different from getting a patent, right? No government office you file this with.
Exactly. No registration, no forms in that sense. Protection comes entirely from your own efforts, your internal procedures, your contracts, your security. It's all on the company.
Makes sense. It's a totally different mindset then.
Completely different.
Now, when people hear trade secret, the big ones jump to mind, don't they? Like, the Coca-Cola formula.
Right, or Google's algorithms.
Well, KFC's chicken recipe.
Those are the famous ones, for sure, and they're trade secrets. But Donald O'Connell really stressed in the workshop that the scope is just so much wider.
Wider how? What else falls under this umbrella?
Oh, loads of things. Think about customer databases.
Yeah.
Hugely valuable, right?
Absolutely. Lifeblood for many.
Or proprietary software code. Maybe internal pricing strategies you don't want competitors seeing. Marketing plans before they launch. Even lists of your key suppliers.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Less glamorous maybe, but critical.
Exactly. And here's a really interesting one he highlighted. Failed R&D. Knowing what doesn't work can save you time and money, and that knowledge itself can be a valuable trade secret.
Wow, okay. Protecting your failures. That's counterintuitive, but powerful. So the common thread is just economic value tied to secrecy.
You nailed it. That's the essence.
So how do these compare to, say, patents or copyrights? Where do they fit in the whole IP picture?
Good question. Let's break it down. With a patent, you disclose your invention fully to the public. In return, you get exclusive rights for a limited time, usually about 20 years.
Okay. Public disclosure for a limited monopoly.
Right. Trade secrets. They can last potentially forever.
Yeah.
Indefinitely. As long as you keep them secret. No public disclosure needed. That's the trade-off.
Indefinite protection. If you can maintain secrecy. That's a big if.
It is. Now, compare that to copyright. Copyright protects the expression of an idea, like the specific written code of software or the words in a book.
Right, the form it takes.
Exactly. But it doesn't protect the underlying idea, the algorithm, or the function itself, that underlying function. That could be your trade secret.
I see the distinction. And trademarks.
Trademarks are about brand identity. Logos, names, slogans. They tell customers who you are, but they don't protect the processes, the data, the methods that make your business tick.
Okay, so trade secrets seem particularly good for things like software algorithms or unique ways of doing things.
Precisely. Algorithms, data insights, operational methods, customer preferences, manufacturing processes.
Yeah.
Areas where the value really lies in not telling everyone how you do it.
It feels like the legal world has been catching up to the importance of this. Have there been big changes in trade secret law?
Definitely. There's been a real global trend towards strengthening protection. In the U.S., The big one was the Defend Trade Secrets Act, the DTSA, back in 2016.
Right, I remember hearing about that. What did it change?
Well, crucially, it created a federal cause of action. So companies could sue for trade secret theft in federal court, not just state court. That offered potentially bigger remedies and, you know, a more uniform approach, especially for companies operating across state lines.
Makes sense. A bigger playing field.
Yeah. And then over in Europe, you had the EU Trade Secrets Directive in 2018. The goal there was harmonization, getting all the member states onto a more consistent legal footing for protecting trade secrets.
So leveling the playing field across the EU, too.
Pretty much. Yeah. And you see similar updates happening in places like Japan and China, too. It just reflects this growing global recognition that, hey, this stuff is economically vital.
Given all that value, it's kind of amazing to hear they're often managed poorly. What did O'Connell identify as the main pitfalls?
Yeah, it's a paradox, isn't it? Huge value, often weak management. A key issue he pointed out is just a lack of strategy. Like, companies don't even systematically identify what their key trade secrets are.
So if you don't know what they are, you can't protect them.
Exactly. And that leads to poor documentation. You know, not properly recording what the secret is, who knows it, what steps are being taken. Then there's often limited employee awareness. People might not even realize that the spreadsheet they work on is a trade secret.
Right. They just see it as part of the job.
Uh-huh. Add to that weak legal safeguards, maybe flimsy NDAs, and no real system for classifying information. Like, is this confidential or super top secret?
Yeah.
Without that, everything gets treated the same, which means important stuff might not get the protection it needs.
And all these gaps make companies vulnerable.
Hugely vulnerable. To internal leaks, whether accidental or malicious, and definitely to external theft, like cyber attacks or corporate espionage. If you're listening, thinking about your own place, these might sound unfortunately familiar.
And I guess this poor management contributes to more fights over secrets. We do see big companies suing each other over this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Trade secret litigation is way up, particularly in the U.S. You see these huge cases, Uber, DuPont, T-Mobile, loads of others. The stakes are incredibly high. Legal costs, damages, reputational harm.
So what happens when these cases go to court? What are they arguing about?
It usually boils down to three core questions. First, was the information actually a trade secret? Did it meet those legal criteria we talked about?
Okay. Step one, prove it's a secret.
Right. Second, was it misappropriated? Meaning, was it acquired improperly or disclosed or used without permission?
So was there actual theft or misuse?
Exactly. And third, what were the damages? How much harm did the owner suffer because the secret got out or was misused?
And I imagine proving all that without good records
is incredibly difficult. That's where good documentation and evidence of those reasonable steps become absolutely critical. It's your proof in court.
Okay, so let's talk solutions. What are the best practices Donald O'Connell suggests for actually protecting these things properly?
Well, foundationally, it starts with awareness and education. Seriously, getting employees, everyone to understand what trade secrets are, why they matter, and what their role is in protecting them. That's step one.
Culture change almost.
Yeah, building that culture of confidentiality. But then you need formal structures. Clear governance, who's responsible for what, and solid policies. How do we identify secrets? How do we classify them based on sensitivity? What are the specific protection rules?
So you need the human element and the formal systems.
You need both.
It sounds like relying on just one thing, like just an NDA, isn't enough.
Definitely not. A multi-layered strategy is really the way to go. Think of it in maybe three buckets. First, administrative measures. Things like good onboarding processes that stress confidentiality from day one, and thorough offboarding when people leave, regular training, not just once a year, internal audits to check if policies are actually being followed.
Right, the people and process side.
Then you have legal measures. Robust NDAs, sure, but also strong confidentiality clauses baked into employment contracts, supplier agreements, partnership deals, really well-drafted collaboration agreements that spell out IP ownership and protection very clearly.
The legal paperwork has to be solid.
Absolutely. And third, technical measures. This is the cybersecurity piece, firewalls, intrusion detection, but also encryption for sensitive data. Access controls, who gets to see what, based on need to know. And don't forget physical security for documents or prototypes, locks, restricted areas, that kind of thing.
Wow. Admin, legal, tech. It's quite comprehensive, almost like building a fortress around the information.
Kind of. You need multiple walls because any single one might be breached. The combination is what provides the strongest defense.
Something you mentioned earlier and O'Connell emphasized was metadata. Sounds a bit dry, maybe. Why is that so important?
It can sound dry, but think of it like the digital fingerprint or the history log for your trade secret information. It's the data about the data.
Okay, like who created a file, when it was last accessed.
Exactly that. But also potentially who owns it officially within the company, what security measures have been applied to it, like encryption levels, what its classification is, maybe review dates. It provides critical context.
And why is that context useful?
Well, internally, it helps you track and manage the information effectively. But externally, it's invaluable. If you're in litigation, that metadata can help prove when a secret was created and how consistently you've protected it. If you're doing M&A due diligence or dealing with auditors or regulators, that metadata trail demonstrates control and seriousness.
So it's proof of process, essentially.
It's powerful proof, yes. Don't underestimate the metadata.
It's also interesting, this shift towards seeing trade secrets not just as secrets, but as actual financial assets. How does that change the game?
That's a really significant shift. International accounting standards, like IAS 38, are increasingly recognizing that trade secrets can meet the definition of an intangible asset. And initiatives like the OECD's BEPS project focusing on tax avoidance also acknowledge their financial weight.
So they belong on the balance sheet, potentially.
Potentially, yes. Or at least need to be factored into valuations and financial reporting in a more structured way. This has big implications for company valuation, obviously, but also for tax planning, transfer pricing between subsidiaries, and overall strategic decision making.
How do you even value something that's secret?
It's complex, no doubt. You'd look at factors like, well, how much did it cost to develop? How much are we spending to protect it? What are the potential future earnings it could generate? What are the risks involved? How long do we think its economic benefit will last? It requires careful analysis.
But treating them as assets really elevates their strategic importance.
Absolutely. It forces companies to manage them with the same rigor they'd apply to, say, a factory or a major piece of equipment.
Of course, a big part of this is people. Employees create secrets, handle them, but they can also be the source of leaks, right? How do you manage that risk?
That's the double-edged sword, isn't it? Employees are your greatest asset and potentially your greatest risk when it comes to trade secrets.
So what do you do?
Well, it starts right at recruitment, setting crystal clear expectations about confidentiality. Then consistent training, making sure people understand their obligations, having those solid legal agreements in place we talked about.
NDAs, employment contracts.
Right. And crucially, having proper exit procedures when someone leaves. Reminders of their ongoing duties, checks to make sure they aren't walking out the door digitally or physically with confidential information.
The offboarding is as important as the onboarding.
Absolutely critical. But beyond the formal stuff, O'Connell also emphasized fostering a culture of trust and loyalty. If employees feel valued and respected, they're probably less likely to intentionally leak sensitive information.
Makes sense. Culture matters.
It really does.
What about working with outsiders? Businesses collaborate all the time now, suppliers, partners, research groups. How do you share secrets safely then?
Yeah, collaboration is often essential for innovation, but it definitely introduces risk. Sharing trade secrets externally needs very careful handling. A basic NDA often isn't enough.
Not enough. What more do you need?
You need really robust legal frameworks, collaboration agreements, joint venture agreements, supply contracts. They need to clearly define who owns what IP coming into the project, who owns what gets created during the project, who has access to what specific information, what the protection requirements are, and importantly, what happens if something goes wrong. What are the enforcement mechanisms?
Just spell everything out in meticulous detail beforehand.
Meticulous detail is key. Controlled collaboration, where you know exactly what you're sharing, why, and under what protections, can be really strategic, but it needs discipline.
We keep coming back to documentation. You've stressed it. O'Connell stressed it. It seems paramount.
It really, really is. Yeah. I can't overstate it. If you end up in court trying to prove something was a trade secret and that you protected it, your documentation is your star witness.
What kind of records are we talking about?
Comprehensive ones. Records that clearly identify what the information is, evidence that it was consistently labeled as confidential, you know, digital watermarks, physical stamps, an audit trail showing who accessed it, when, why, proof of the training people received, copies of the signed NDAs, the whole package.
And being professional about it matters.
Absolutely. Professional systematic documentation signals to everyone, employees, partners, courts, that you are serious about protecting your intellectual property. Slotty records suggest you didn't really value it that much yourself.
Okay, so You do all this layers of protection, great documentation, training. But breaches can still happen, right? What then?
That's a crucial point. Prevention is the goal. But you must be prepared for the possibility of breach. You need an incident response plan specifically for trade secret compromises.
An incident response plan, like for a cyber attack.
Similar idea, yes, but tailored to trade secrets. It should outline exactly what steps to take the moment you suspect a breach. Who investigates internally? What's the process? When do you involve legal counsel? What are the potential legal actions, cease and desist letters, lawsuits? How do you communicate with stakeholders, employees, board members, maybe even regulators or the public? And what are the strategies for damage control, trying to claw back the information or minimize its impact?
Being ready to react quickly and effectively.
Exactly. A swift, organized response not only helps mitigate the damage, but also demonstrates, again, to courts or anyone else watching, that you take protection seriously, even after a breach.
So this whole process, Donald O'Connell described it as a maturity journey. What does that mean? It's not something you just switch on overnight.
Precisely. Think of it like developing any complex capability in a business. You don't go from zero to hero instantly. O'Connell's concept of a maturity journey maps out the progression.
What are the stages, roughly?
Well, you might start with the basics.
Oh.
Just raising general awareness, putting a simple confidentiality policy in place. That's maybe level one.
Okay, starting small.
Then, as you mature, you get more sophisticated. You start systematically identifying and inventorying your trade secrets. You develop a formal classification system, you know, confidential, restricted, secret. You implement more robust training.
Getting more structured.
Exactly. Then further along, you're rigorously managing that metadata we talked about. You're conducting regular audits of your security measures, maybe even penetration testing. You might be looking into specialized trade secret insurance. You have that incident response plan fully baked and tested.
So it's a continuous improvement path.
It is. It's a roadmap. The key isn't necessarily reaching the absolute pinnacle overnight, but making steady, consistent progress, strengthening your posture year by year based on your specific risks and the value of your secrets. Progress over perfection, perhaps.
Okay, so wrapping this up, it feels like the big takeaway is that trade secrets are, well, incredibly important tools, maybe more flexible, sometimes cheaper than patents, but they absolutely need active, careful management.
That sums it up perfectly. In today's knowledge economy, neglecting your trade secrets isn't just careless, it's a significant strategic risk.
And conversely, really embracing them, managing them proactively, that's a strategic opportunity.
Absolutely. It's about building resilience, sharpening your competitive edge, and ultimately driving long-term success.
This has been incredibly insightful. Really makes you stop and think, doesn't it? For anyone listening, maybe consider this. What valuable confidential information, what potential trade secrets might be hiding in plain sight within your own organization, and what could actively identifying and protecting them unlock for your future? Definitely something to chew on. Thanks so much for walking us through this.
My pleasure. A fascinating and critical area.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.